Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's Sunday, July 14th, 2024, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right.
And Ed, we have some a new computer, a new software.
Yeah, technology is something, isn't it?
So yeah, I wasn't sure if we'd be able to do this program this evening, but I'm glad we got on here. Hopefully the sound's okay. We haven't even had time to do a sound check, so we'll find out.
I guess
we'll see what this sounds like, and hopefully you folks will be able to hear us okay. Now, the next program that we do, we will be doing on Zoom, because you're going to be taking a trip.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, so that'll be nice. You get to visit some family, and we're going to miss you, but we'll be in touch, won't we?
Right.
And so hopefully in the coming weeks, as we do those programs, we'll be doing it over Zoom. It'll sound a little different because I'm going to be using my home studio, and hopefully we'll just keep this study going just like normal. Yeah. But before we get started, we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us this format, for being able to be here on New Visions Radio each and every week, every Sunday for many years now, since about 2013. It's been 11 years, Ed. And it's good to be here. Thanks, Ray, for all you do and keeping this network going. And this ministry, Prophecies of Hope, can you tell people a little about what we do, Ed?
We're just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we have a church building. Mm-hmm. And we meet on Wednesday evenings for Bible study, prayer time. And then we meet on the Sabbath or Saturday for our church service. And we have a Bible study at 9:30 that we call Sabbath School. And then we have a worship hour at 11. And these studies are available via Zoom if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And the Sabbath morning Bible study is streamed live, as well as the church service.
Yeah. And the church service starts at 11 o'clock and every Sabbath morning. And, you know, we would love for you to come and visit with us if you're ever in the area.
Right.
We're in Stanton, Virginia. And also, we have a Bible series coming up soon, don't we?
Yes.
It's about 2 months away.
September.
Yeah. It's going to be September. We'll be streaming that. We'll give you more details as we get closer. And then, of course, our website, prophecyhope.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of sermons there. A lot of the radio programs are archived there. And we will be streaming that Bible series live, so you don't have to come here. Wherever you are in the world, you'll be able to tune in and watch that as we do it.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting, the technology that God has given us, isn't
it?
It's pretty amazing. And even this format. The other thing is, you know, I just wanted to remind people that they can contact us.
Okay.
And how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can just send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. If you have a Bible question or a topic you would like us to discuss, send us an email and we'll see if we can make that happen for you. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if you just want to just say hello, and we will keep your name quiet. You know, we won't tell anybody unless you say, hey, I don't mind if you use my name.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use the name. We don't always have the answers, but we try to get the answers from the Bible, whatever that is. And we want to encourage you to, part of this, the reason for this program is to encourage people to open their Bible and do it on a daily basis.
Yeah. Study it with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we go through these texts today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6.
Right.
So if you have a Bible in your home or with you, a lot of people have them on their phones, on their smart devices, open it up and read along with us. And, you know, sometimes what will happen, we'll read something, we might not see it exactly right. Sometimes I've read and missed a word or mm-hmm. this or that, and that can change the whole meaning of a text.
Right.
So if you feel like, hey, wait a minute, this wasn't right, send us an email and we'll correct it.
Right.
That's what we're all about. We want to know what the Word of God says. So I think, is there any other business we need to do,
Ed? I don't think so.
All right. Would you pray for us to get us
started?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity again to open your Word, the Bible. In there, there's rich treasures that we can find for our lives today. And as we study these words of Jesus today in Matthew 6, may it have an impact on our hearts and minds, on how we live our life. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we covered Matthew chapter 5, part of it. We talked about marriage mm-hmm. and divorce.
Right.
Some pretty sensitive topics.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to pick up right here in Matthew chapter 6. But I didn't know if there were any thoughts that you had about anything that we had discussed last week or in the previous weeks about the Sermon on the Mount, or if you just wanted to just dive right in.
Well, I think people may be surprised sometimes at what the Bible says. Mm. They never heard these things before, and it's very different than what actually happens in the world.
Yeah.
And maybe they think it's old-fashioned or something, but this is the Word of God. This is God's Word to us to tell us the best way and how to live our lives.
It really is. You know, and I'll just share this. I have a new Bible study with a gentleman, and we, for the first time together, we opened the Bible this past week, and we went through some topics. We just started off just looking at the commandments of God.
Right.
And he had heard those things all of his life, but he had never really considered them in a practical way. In other words, you hear them, but how do they affect me?
Yeah.
And when we got to the one about adultery, you know, this man has been married and he's been divorced. And it kind of hit him. He says, well, wait a minute. And he asked me about it. So we looked at some of these texts that we covered last week.
Right.
And he realized that he is free to marry at this
right.
point because of what the former spouse has moved on.
Right.
And what got me was his question was, so, and this might seem odd to some people, but this is where we might end up. He says, so what do I, if I want to get remarried, you know, sometimes it's good to know the person really well. I mean, so it would be wrong to move in together. And so here's what I said. The Bible doesn't say anything about moving in together, but what does it look like from the outside?
Right.
That means everything. People will make the assumption whether something is going on or not. And he said, right. Yeah, that's so true. So it puts me in a bad light in the community. And it does.
Right. You know, the Bible speaks against fornication.
Right.
Which is, you know, physical interaction outside the institution of marriage, mm-hmm. you know.
It is. So what we did was, let's just go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And, you know, we've read this on this program before, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is pretty clear. It says, beginning in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither, there it is, right up front, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So it's making it clear. But we've read this. It doesn't leave us hanging there, does it, Ed?
Right. Well, read the next verse.
It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So people have experienced a change.
Yes.
By coming to know Jesus and accepting him and being baptized, washed of your sins.
Amen.
Remission of sin is what Peter calls it in Acts chapter 2.
Two things you just said are very important. Remission of sins, washed from your sins. It doesn't mean that I can keep doing these things.
Right.
It says you were doing these things.
Right.
So part of that remission, part of that repentance, part of that being washed, I'm washed because I have repented.
Right. I've turned away from sin.
That's it. And so this is very important. And if we want a relationship with Christ and we have these things in our lives, what do we do at that point?
Well, ask Christ into your heart and mind.
Amen.
Ask for power to overcome these things in your life. He has the ability to give that to you.
He does.
You know, these things we're talking about are not easy to deal with. They're difficult to overcome, no question. But it's possible. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yes.
And he will strengthen you.
It doesn't say some things.
Right.
All things.
Yes.
And that's so important to recognize that, you know, we're not alone in this life. We might feel alone. We might live alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if we come to God in prayer, and we're going to be talking about prayer here in this study today.
Right.
So I thought it was good to go back and just kind of review some of those things and share that personal testimony, because this person, this man, really wants a relationship with Christ, and he didn't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking about this.
Right.
And his final comment was, you know, I wouldn't mind having a companion again, but, you know, I don't know that I should.
Hmm.
You know, so he's at a pivotal point in his life thinking, you know, maybe it's best that I remain single.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's best. Paul even says that in the Bible. He doesn't say you should. It's a personal choice.
Right.
So anyway, just food for thought, folks, because we're all in a different place mm-hmm. in this life. So any other comments before we go to chapter 6?
No, I think we're ready to go.
All right. Ed, are you up to reading?
Sure. Let me start and just read verses 1 through 4 of Matthew 6. This is, again, is the modern King James Version of the Bible. Take heed that you not do your merciful deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your merciful deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may have glory from men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do merciful deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand does, so that your merciful deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret himself shall reward you openly.
Hmm. So what are your thoughts on this, Ed? Do you have any?
Well, there's an interesting heading here in my Bible. It says, giving to the needy.
Ah, okay.
Merciful deeds, helping somebody out in their time of need. You know, it could be stopping along the highway when someone has a flat tire and changing it, helping change it. Or supporting your local food bank or your local mission or helping someone on the street. You know, there can be all kinds of things.
Sure. And here's the thing. Today, in this world that we live in, and depending on where we live, we need to use discretion. I want to help people. Mm-hmm. I really do. But sometimes you might have an uneasy feeling. You know, people can take advantage of you these days. That's always the case. But, you know, if you are a single woman and you see a man standing alongside the road, I don't recommend that you stop and try to help.
Right.
You know, use your mind, use your brain, think about these things, because don't put yourself in a position where you could trouble yourself, because people aren't always what they seem to be on the outside.
Right.
And that goes both ways. Some people might look seedy and they might be a great Christian person,
mm-hmm.
and others might look like an upstanding citizen and they could be a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. So pray about these things. Pray that God will put those people in your life that you can help. And, you know, I see people in this area, Ed, that sometimes they'll be panhandling on the road. And sometimes I feel like if I just give them money, they might use it to buy alcohol or drugs. But maybe I could, we have a brother in our fellowship that gives them like a gift card to a food
place,
to get them food.
Yeah.
And so that's a great idea.
Right.
It's to a specific restaurant or a specific place, and they can go there and they can get a meal and get a drink and
mm-hmm.
and not abuse it.
Right.
So just food for thought. The other thing, no pun intended. The other thing is, you know, if you might have something in your home, maybe a jacket or a shirt, and you see this person and you think, you know, I was going to throw this away, maybe it's something that's good enough that you could give it to them or give it to a charitable cause.
There's multiple ways that you can help people. And, you know, let God lead you in how to do that. Everybody has different thoughts and ways of doing that, and that's probably good because there's different types of people out there that need help.
Yeah, and I'll just share this, and I wouldn't normally do it, but this is just helping people. I went to a local grocery store. I was just running in to check something, and there was a lady that came up while I was checking my text. I was sitting in the parking lot, and she came up to my door, my window. It scared me. And she says, "Can you give me a ride?" And it shook me. And it was just a lady. And I said, "Well, where are you going?" She says, "Well, my son and I," and she pointed over to the side, "we need a ride to this particular place." Well, I'll be honest, they didn't look trustworthy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being judgmental? It just didn't look quite right. So when I went into the store, I asked one of the cashiers was there. There were two ladies, and I said, "Have you ever seen these folks here before?" And they said, "Yeah, they're in here almost every day. A few times a week they're here. And they're probably just waiting for the bus." So because I knew they were known,
mm-hmm.
and because there was a man with her, I wouldn't pick up a woman and take her somewhere alone. It's just not wise in this world today. And I allowed him to sit in the front seat, and she sat in the back, and I took them where they needed to go. So use discretion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a man and a woman is asking, you know, be careful. If you're a woman and a man is asking, if there's someone else with them, maybe it's okay. So I know this sounds like, it might sound like, well, you're being overly cautious, but I don't think we can be overly cautious in the world today. So was there anything else in these four verses?
No, I think that's good.
All right. So I'll just begin here. How far do we want to go next?
Well, let's just go through 15.
Oh, okay.
5 through 15.
5 through 15. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. Did you want to read or you want me to read?
It doesn't matter. You can read.
It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
So this is a very actually well-known section of Scripture. It's called the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching people how to pray. He says, you know, apparently back in the day when Jesus was on this earth, it wasn't unusual for people to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corner of the street. And he is the one who reads hearts so that they could be seen by men. They were trying to, I guess, prop themselves up by prayers. I don't know. And he says, don't do that. When you pray, enter into your room, shut your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And then it goes on in verse 7, when you pray, do not babble vain words as the nations, for they think by their much speaking they shall be heard. Now, there are churches out there that will teach you repetitive, there are religions out there that teach you to say repetitive phrases over and over and over and over again.
Right.
That's what Christ is talking about. Don't babble on in vain words. Your words mean things. So when you're praying to God, you know, tell him what you're feeling, what you desire, what your hopes and dreams are, what your difficulties are. Mm. You don't have to just say the same words over and over and over again.
Yeah, you talk. I would talk to God in a reverent way, but you can talk to him like a friend.
Yeah.
You can ask him for help like you would ask a friend for help. You can throw your burden on him.
Yes.
Like you would throw a burden on a friend. Sometimes you just need to vent. You ever just need to talk about something?
Yeah.
You can talk to God about those things. Right? And, you know, one of the things, every time I read this text where it says, in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And like you said, at this time period, it seems like people were wanting attention. Hey, look at me. Look, mm-hmm. I'm praying. I'm in front. Right. I'm out here, and look at how religious I am.
Yeah. Right? How important.
Or I have a relationship with God. Yeah. But now, I always think of Daniel chapter 6.
Yes. I was thinking about that when you were reading this.
Yeah. And what was, do you remember what was happening there?
Daniel was a man of God, and because of the abilities God had given to him, basically to interpret dreams for the King Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. and his lifestyle, his way of life, he was made a governor over Babylon. And his contemporaries, his cohorts, didn't like it. They were jealous. Mm-hmm. And so they created a law that said for a certain number of days, I don't remember the number of days, they were only to worship the king. Mm-hmm. They were only to bow down to the king. Well, Daniel was told of this, and he just kept on going with his normal lifestyle. He would pray three times a day. He would open his window shutters, I guess, and pray, I assume, towards Jerusalem,
yeah.
and pray to God. And he didn't let this law stop him. Well, what ended up happening is he was thrown in a den of lions.
Yeah.
But God delivered him. Daniel says, the angel of the Lord shut the lion's mouth, and they did not hurt him.
So you can find this account in Daniel chapter 6.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's so funny. Look, I get goosebumps because this is very real. This happened. This is history. And so Daniel had such a relationship with God that when he prayed to God, God closed the mouth of those lions.
Right.
And this is why Jesus is saying, hey, pray. Come to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Ask him for things. He will help you in your time of distress, in your time of need.
And don't just pray in your time of distress. Pray daily.
Yes.
He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know your joys and your happiness as well as your difficulties that you go through.
It's so true. I have friends and I have family members that sometimes the only time I hear from them is when they need something.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's not use our Heavenly Father that way. And I got to be honest, Ed, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. When life is good, a lot of times we might feel like, well, I don't have that need. And then when things start going wrong, it's like I lean on God more.
Right.
But if we have a really close friend that we talk to on a regular basis, we don't just call them when we need something. We call them just to talk, just to say hello.
If you look at the book of Psalms in the Bible, much of it, David's not the only author in Psalms, but much of it is David praising God for his goodness.
Absolutely.
It's not just going to him for his help in time of need, although he does that much in the Psalms, but it's just as much he praises God for his blessings in his life.
Can we take a moment to look at the 34th Psalm?
Sure.
Because this is a really good example of this, and I think there's some good advice in here. I think we should read the whole chapter. It's not that long.
All right.
The 34th Psalm, this is a Psalm of David, And
you know, the title of it in my Bible, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good."
Isn't that something? Yeah. Would you mind reading this?
Sure. Again, this is the Modern King James.
Psalm 34.
Starting with verse 1. "I will bless Jehovah at all times." The King James probably has the word "Lord" in all caps there.
It does, yes.
"His praise also shall be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in Jehovah. The humble shall hear and be glad. I'll magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Jehovah, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, and were filled with light, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord camps round about those who fear him, and delivers him. Taste and see that Jehovah is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear Jehovah, his holy ones, for there is nothing lacking to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek Jehovah shall not lack any good thing. Come, listen to me, my sons. I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. Who is the man that desires life and loves days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile." Guile is deceit. Mm-hmm. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Jehovah is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and Jehovah hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Jehovah is near to the brokenhearted, and save those who are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Jehovah delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evils shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness shall be held guilty. Jehovah redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them who trust in him shall be guilty."
What a beautiful set of verses. And there's a prophecy in there.
Yes, there is. It talks in verse 20, he keeps all his bones and not one of them is broken. It's talking about Christ on the cross.
Yeah. So this shows that God is interested in each individual.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where you are in life, God is interested. He wants to help you. And that the title of this, she said, was "Taste and See."
See that the Lord is good.
Verse 8.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts about this text? Anything you'd like to share?
Well, you can see the contrast between two types of lifestyle, two types of people. Mm-hmm. The righteous mean living life as God would have you live it, and the evil who are disobedient to God.
Yeah.
There's different outcomes for each.
Absolutely. So the choice is ours.
Yes.
Do I want to live a life according to God's will or according to my own sinful will?
Right.
And, you know, I would like to be more like Jesus in that he said, "Father, not my will, but yours."
Right.
He recognized that if he does the will of the Father, his life is going to be good.
Yeah.
And things are going to go much better for him. Getting to that point in this world is a difficult thing. Getting to the point to where we trust God, to where we can really truly taste and see that he is good. And it's difficult. We call on him in times of trouble, but we can call on him, we can visit with him at any time, no matter where we are.
Let me share something. You talked about Christ doing the will of his Father and that he trusted him. I want to read John 12, 44 through 50. This is the point to how much Jesus trusted in his Father, trusted in, actually the Bible says, his Father and his God. Mm. John 12, 44, it says, "But Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes on me does not believe on me, but on him who sent me.'" Of course, Jehovah, God sent him, his Father. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes on me should not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, even to the Father said to me, so I speak. Mm. He knows that God's way is the best, that God's way leads to life everlasting.
Amen. And this is why we have God's Word, the Bible, to show us what God expects.
Yes.
And living by these, the commandments of God, puts us in line with the character of God.
Yeah.
And really, if I live by the commandments, everything in life seems to be better.
You know, this is one reason that Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak.
Yes.
The miracles that Christ did were through the Spirit of God, not through himself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is what we're saying. Christ will not leave you alone. You're never alone. We said that at the beginning.
Right.
And he will come to you and bring the Father to you. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator.
He's the way, the truth, and life.
Amen.
No one comes to the Father but by him.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So let's look at Matthew 6 and this section, this famous prayer that most people have heard.
I love this.
I want to read the King James Version because it's very familiar to me.
It may be
more familiar to people.
It is.
Today as well.
I read it from the New King James,
right.
So it sounds a little different.
Yeah, I'm going to start with verse 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in church, when someone up front would start praying this prayer, the congregation would join in and pray that prayer.
Yes, I've heard that in many churches. Yeah.
And you know, it's good to have different versions of the Bible, but there's also, it's kind of a difficult thing with everybody praying in their own version of the Bible.
Right.
You know? So I know this prayer from the King James, even though I use the modern King James Bible. To me, this is familiar to me.
I think that it is familiar to most people, I would say,
because
it does read a little different in the New King James.
Right.
It uses a more modern language. But let's take a moment to analyze this prayer, if you don't mind. So the first thing that Jesus says, I want you to notice there's no confusion in his prayer.
Yes.
Is there confusion in prayers today sometimes,
yes.
Ed?
Yeah. Who do people pray to? They use the name of God. They use the name of the Father. And in the same prayer, they're talking to God, the Father. They act like they're talking to Jesus as well, or to the Holy Spirit, like they're the same person, but they're not. They're different people.
Right. So when...
Well, let me rephrase that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Father and his Son are different people. They each one have a spirit.
There you go.
God is holy, his spirit is holy. Christ is holy, his spirit is holy.
There you go.
I don't want to cause more confusion.
Right. So there are not three divine beings.
No, there's only two.
Right. So, thank you for that correction, Ed. So he says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Is Jesus praying to himself there?
No, he's not. He's praying to his Father, to his God.
Yes.
Right? His God and his Father.
Right.
And so when he says, hallowed be your name, this is something that a lot of people, many people today, I think more people today know than did because of the internet and different Bible translations, but many people don't realize that God has a name. I've asked people, what is God's name? And some will say, Jesus.
Oh.
And I said, well, that's God's son's name. Yeah. But does God have a name? And they'll say, well, Lord or God. And, well, that's a title. Lord is a title. And God is a title. But he has a name. And in the King James that you just read from, in the Authorized King James, chapter 83 and verse 18, it identifies the name of God. In fact, Psalm 83:18.
In Psalms, right?
Yes, Psalm 83:18. It says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth.
So let's talk about this name of Jehovah in the Old Testament. Mm. Because if you have a King James Bible, you only see it in a couple of places in the Bible. But to identify who's being talked about, they have the word Lord in all caps.
Yes, they do.
And what is that reference?
Well, any time in the Old Testament that you see the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's what the Hebrews understand, the Jewish people understand to be the tetragrammaton. Tetra is four, and grammaton is like word. Now, this is one thing that really struck me. You know, in America, in English, when we think of a four-letter word, we think of something bad.
Yeah.
We think of a curse word or something naughty. But this tetragrammaton literally means four-letter word. You see how the devil
works?
What
are the letters?
In the Hebrew language, there's no vowels. There's only consonants.
Right.
So it's YHWH. And some will say Yahweh.
Yeah. But some will say Jehovah.
Yes.
Some will say Yehovah, combining the two.
That's correct. And so we really don't know how to pronounce the divine name. But in English, in the Authorized King James Bible, it uses that name. It puts it in there four times. So wherever you see in the Old Testament, all caps, L-O-R-D, all caps, you know that's speaking of the divine name.
Right.
That's the divine name, Yahweh or Jehovah.
It's referring to God, the Father of Christ.
Yes, it is. In fact, Exodus 6:3 is another place that mentions that name. In fact, I'll start in Exodus 6:2, because it has the all caps Lord there. And it says, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, all caps. And then in verse 3, the next verse, it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So here we see that divine name again. It's also in Isaiah 12:2 in the King James, the Authorized King James Bible. And it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Now, it's interesting that the name Jesus, when translated from, when you look at the name Jesus literally, it means Jehovah is my salvation.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
So some people may associate the name of God, Jehovah, with a certain denomination.
Unfortunately, that name has been hijacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But this name is found in the Bible.
It is.
And it's the name of God, the Father of Jesus Christ.
Yes. And in fact, one more place, Isaiah 26:4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Yeah. So one of the things that the modern King James Bible does is it tries to restore that divine name throughout the Old Testament.
Right.
So this might be news to some, and it might not be to others, but it's something that really God has a name.
Yes.
So when Jesus says, hallowed be thy name, well, that name is a holy name, and we can know it, and we can use it.
Yes.
And it identifies the one true God, whether it's Yahweh or Jehovah or Yehovah, whatever. I know in Spanish, I think our brother Juan says Yehovah. So he puts the emphasis at the end.
Okay.
And in the New King James, it uses the abbreviated form J-A-H or Y-A-H. It'll say Yah in some of these areas. In fact, the word hallelujah, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at it carefully, the last three letters are in English are J-A-H. Mm-hmm. So it's hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we say hallelujah, and that means praise Jehovah.
Right.
That's all it means. When you say hallelujah, you're actually saying praise Jehovah or praise Yahweh.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing that these things are there, but the devil doesn't want people to know these things. He tries to hide it. So I find it interesting that this is how Jesus starts his prayer: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then the next part, did you have another thought about the name?
No, keep going.
Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where does it say?
On earth.
Interesting, as it is in heaven.
Yeah. You know, Jesus didn't pray that my will be done.
No, he didn't.
He knew that his trust and faith is in his Father.
Amen.
And he knows his Father. And he knows that God would do nothing evil, that his way is the best way. So he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
So when you think of God's kingdom coming, does anything come to your mind, Ed? God's kingdom, what exactly is that? Can I have a share in that today? Is there something that I can do to have a part of God's kingdom in my life?
You know, Jesus made a comment. I'm not sure I'm going to quote it right, but he said, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is not by observation.
Yes. So that means that we can have a share in that kingdom today, right? But he's not just, in this text, he's talking about that, but he's also talking about a kingdom that will actually rule the earth. God will rule the earth once again. Right now we know Satan is the ruler of this world. So let's go back to the Old Testament. This is not a new idea.
All right.
So if we go back to Psalm 37, the 37th Psalm has some really beautiful things to say. And I do like the way that the King James, I have the New King James, but let's see what the modern King James says in Psalm 37, verses 9 through 11.
All right. Starting in verse 9. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those that wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. It is but a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall search his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the overflowing of peace.
So
this is talking about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The wicked shall not be. You shall search and try to find them, but you won't find them.
Exactly.
Because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. And the thing is, so many Christians are taught that, you know, this all goes back to some of the things that we've talked about in the past, Ed. So many Christians are taught that when we die, we immediately go to heaven.
Yeah,
but we know that we return to the dust based on what the Bible says, and we await a resurrection. We've also studied in the past that during the 1,000 years, we will spend that time in the heavens.
Right.
But this is talking about once wickedness is wiped away.
And that occurs at the end of the 1,000 years.
At the end of the 1,000 years, then this earth will be renewed. It will be restored. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
God is giving him this prophecy. Evildoers will be cut off. That's at the end of the 1,000 years.
Right.
But those who wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. This is what Jesus was praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see, and I love the way, here's what it says in the New King James, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And then again, if we look at verse 20 of Psalm 37, But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away.
Yeah, you know, the modern King James says, the wicked shall pass, and the enemies of Jehovah shall be like the beauty of pastures. Mm-hmm. They are consumed like smoke. They perish.
They perish. So again, this is teaching us that hell does not burn for eternity.
Right.
It's amazing when we couple the things that Jesus said in his prayer there in Matthew 6 with the rest of Scripture, he preaches truth all of the time.
Right.
All of the time. And then notice, can you read verse 22?
22. It says, "For his blessed one shall inherit the earth, and those cursed by him shall be cut off."
Yeah. So this cut off means destroyed.
Yeah.
They're not going to live any longer. And then verse 29, it says, "The righteous shall inherit." The New King James says, "the land and dwell in it forever." But that Hebrew word is the same word that's translated earth. It literally is eretz, which means earth. It means this planet. And then one more verse, verse 34, it says, "Wait on Jehovah and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land." Again, that word is eretz, or earth. "When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it."
Let me go back to verse 29.
Oh, sure.
And read the next two verses together with verse 29.
Okay.
It says, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. Mm. None of his steps shall slide."
Yeah, having the law in our heart.
Yeah.
Didn't David pray for that?
Yes.
"Put in me a new heart.
Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me."
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's when I look at this text, you know, I don't know if as Christians, a lot of times we just read these texts. There's rich meaning in the things that Jesus was praying for. "Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
Right.
So we also see, just so we can see, you know, so we see it in the Old Testament that there was a prophecy that the earth would be restored. Mm-hmm. We also see it in the book of Revelation, don't we?
Right.
I think it's in Revelation 22. I love this text. If you don't mind, I'd like to share this. Revelation 22, just beginning here in verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." So we see the Father and the Son there, mm-hmm. right? "In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree was yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So we will live on the earth because God creates a new heavens and a new earth based on what Revelation
tells us. Can I read Revelation 21?
Please.
First four verses. And it says, "This is John, the Apostle John, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying out, nor will there be any more pain, for the first things have passed away.'"
Verse 5 also.
And he, sitting on the throne, said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
So I make all things new,
yeah.
Right? That's what God says. And these words are true and faithful. This will happen. This is what right. Jesus was praying for. This is the these verses are exactly what Jesus was praying for in Matthew chapter 6, for God's kingdom to come.
Right.
And we can have a share in that today.
Yes. That's the whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth, dying on the cross. God sending the Spirit of His Son into our hearts today, giving us empowerment to overcome sin, so we can partake of that kingdom.
Yes, so that we can be changed, and this is what we're talking about. You know, at the outset, we talked about the things that we had discussed last week and how we can overcome.
Right.
That's how we become partakers of that kingdom today. Christ will help us to overcome the things that prevent us from being a part of that kingdom.
Yes.
You know, in anything, sometimes you have to meet certain criteria to get a loan from the bank, or to maybe to be in a particular school. Your grades have to be so good to get into certain colleges. God cannot allow sin to be in His kingdom.
Right.
He cannot allow it. It has no part.
Looks what happened on this earth because of sin.
Yeah. This is the whole reason that we die.
Yeah.
This is the whole reason why the world is in the condition it's in today. And God promises that He will restore it. So,
you know, when we look at some other parts of the Lord's Prayer in verse 11 of Matthew 6, It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, God will provide our needs.
Yes, He will.
He may not necessarily provide your wants. Maybe sometimes He will, maybe sometimes He won't, depending on what He knows is best for us.
That's right.
But He says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors."
Hmm.
Just as God forgives us, we need to forgive others.
Amen. So let me ask you something on this. Give us this day our daily bread. Can you think of a time in the Bible where God provided bread for people?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in the time when Israel was brought out of Egypt, And they ended up needing to spend time in the desert because of their disobedience, God provided them manna from heaven.
Yes, He did. Exodus 16
right.
is where we find
and it.
It
was daily, but it wasn't provided daily.
Oh, that's right.
It was provided 6 days a week, but on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much as they would need because there was no manna rained down on the seventh day or the Sabbath day.
They were to collect twice as much, right?
Now, if they did that on another day besides Friday, the preparation day, it would rot, it would mold, it would have worms in it. But if they did that on Friday, on the Sabbath, that manna was good.
Yes, it was preserved through the Sabbath hours.
Right.
So while I like the way you put that. That was really good. So he provided them what they needed daily, but he didn't give it to them every day.
Right.
It was only 6 days a week.
Right.
But he made it to where they would have their sustenance even through the Sabbath hours.
Yeah, that's why I hesitated when you asked that question.
Good.
I was thinking this through in my head.
I had never considered the way you... Words mean things, don't they?
They do.
So, and this is why even earlier when Ed Stopney corrected himself, because it's so important that we know these things.
Well, there's so much confusion today about who God is and who His Son is.
Yes, it is.
And I don't understand how people try to say there's one God, but yet there's three gods.
Right.
You know, it boggles my mind. But
yeah, you know, and there's this old, you see it all the time when you said the one God and people believe there's three. They say 1 + 1 + 1. I know what that is.
It's three.
It's three.
Yeah.
But they don't say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's confusion.
Yeah.
But so this let's get back to this for a moment though. This daily bread. So it can be talking about sustenance. We've only got a couple of minutes. It can be talking about sustenance and food.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be talking about what God provides us on a daily basis through His Word.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Word is kind of like spiritual food, we could say.
There's a text in the Bible that says that we shouldn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that...
it's probably in the Psalms. But.
I'm trying to think that it's where... I thought it was where Jesus was being tempted.
Okay. Maybe it's in Matthew 4?
It might be Matthew 4. There. Let's see. Matthew chapter 4. The devil actually was tempting Jesus. We're almost out of time. Let's see if I can find this really quick. Matthew chapter 4.
Verse 4.
Is that where it is? Go ahead.
Yes. The devil tempted him, if you are the Son of God, make these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
And I think that's a quote also in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy 8. Let me just look at that real quick. Because I put a note in my Bible.
Deuteronomy 8:3.
Is that where it is?
Yep.
Yep, it sure is. What's it say? Do you have that?
I don't. I just have
okay.
the reference.
Well, I have it right here. We have just enough time. It says in Deuteronomy 8:3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which we were just talking about, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah.
To live by the word of God is to live your life according to the way God tells us to live it.
Amen. Amen. It surely is. And so next week, Ed, we'll be doing this via Zoom.
All right.
And I hope that everyone will tune in. We're going to pick up right here again in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer.
All right.
And maybe we can talk just a little more about the manna, because there's something that I love to share with people to make them think, because we come together to worship and we keep the Sabbath holy.
Right.
And I would like them to see one of the reasons why.
Okay.
And so are there any closing comments or thoughts?
No.
All right. Well, it's time for us to end this program. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to know you and to analyze this prayer that Jesus gave us of how to pray. And Father, we just ask that you will bless us, and that we can live up to the things that you have asked us to do, that we can rely more on you rather than on ourselves. Father, we want to be more like Jesus, so please help each and every one of us to do that. We ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again next week. And Father, we're just grateful for everything you do for us. And we praise you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So Ed, thanks again for being here. And friends, we hope to see you next week right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.